G'day Central Coast, this is the new 2GO Breakfast Show with Mandy and Rob Palmer.
Well, hello everyone.
Hip hip hooray, it's Thursday.
I love your t-shirt. So Rob Palmer's wearing a t-shirt that says anti-vibe, anti-bad vibe shield.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic, that's so you.
Well, all the bad vibes just bounce off.
Yeah. I can't imagine many bad vibes sticking to you anyway, to be honest with you.
I try to keep it as positive as possible.
Yeah, you do. Hey, woke up this morning, massive zit on my face.
Well, you've done well to cover that up.
Well, you know what though? 46 years old, when do they stop? Do you know what I mean? Like, I've just had them all my life. I'm going, surely at some point, like, am I going to be 60 with zits?
Probably. I think you either get them in a whole heap at 13 and then they go, or you just get them randomly, sporadically
just throughout
your life.
Okay.
So you're destined to have them forever.
Thanks, mate. That's fabulous. Yeah, really happy about that.
Good makeup job, though.
Hey, President Trump always calls us on a Thursday. Really excited to be speaking to him today.
Yes.
Want to tell you about a brand new invention that you might want to get for your place. We'll do that in a little while as well. But right now, it's the music that makes you feel good. We're getting the Hooters out first thing on a Thursday morning.
The Hooters? Oh, sorry.
I got excited there, didn't you?
107.7 2GO.
You know what? We've got this amazing fundraiser night organised with a whole bunch of comedians. It's called Give Me Lols for Kids.
Absolutely going to be a ripping evening.
It is going to be sensational. Loads of comedians joining us, including this guy, Michael Schaefer. He's going to be on stage with Akmal and Kitty Flanagan.
How funny is that woman?
So, Michael, new rules for kids.
Yeah, guys, this is coming in a school in Sydney. I reckon it's going to be happening around a lot of schools. Teachers are saying, you know how when you're a kid and you've got your birthday party coming up, it's like the biggest thing that's ever happened to you ever.
Yeah,
you go around school, and what you do is you give out your invitations to all the other kids, you know, in the class. Mm. And what you do is you tend to like bully one kid and say, hey, no, you're not invited, right? So the schools are now stopping kids from doing that because they obviously don't want other kids to feel left out who aren't getting invited to these parties.
Well, you see, this is the thing, though, isn't it? Your mum says to you, you can't invite all 30.
Yeah.
I'm not having 30 kids in my house.
You're a maximum of 12, and you're tearing your hair out to say who's going to be the unlucky 13.
Yeah, is it going to be Emma? Is it going to be Joseph? You know, who's coming, who's not?
Oh, I don't like Emma. She's gluten intolerant. We're going to have to cater for her. No, I'm not bringing her along.
Yes, convenience comes into it.
And not only that, if you have a party on the following, you know, week, you're not allowed to chat about the party at school.
That's ridiculous.
That's madness.
Hang on. Didn't everyone used to sing happy birthday in the classroom?
Yeah, well, now they can't do that anymore. Okay, now there's a cake and no one knows whose birthday it is.
Oh,
and we all
that's ridiculous.
How do you keep storm on your own birthday?
I mean, I thought it was bad when you brought the cake and then the teacher covered the cake in like foil or sort of glad wrap or something, because when the birthday kid blew out the candles, the spit went all over the cake.
No.
It's true. And so they didn't want everyone getting the spit, so they have to now cover the cake before you can blow out the candles.
I mean, yeah, look, fair enough. When 20 kids turn up the next day, like all vomiting, like you don't want them. I can see why they bring in that rule. But look, I don't understand how they're going to police it when they've all gone to a party on the week and then they can't chat about it, you know, the next day. Like, I don't know, when they turn up to the party, is it like a vow of silence at the start? Is there just like, guys, the first rule of this party is you do not talk about this party. And the second rule is that there are no nuts in the cake, okay? That is the second rule. We can't have another incident again. Well, do you know, I'm actually quite happy with this rule, because when I was a kid, I had a birthday party that I would be quite happy for no one to ever talk about again. Okay, so I had a birthday party. I was like 7 years old, and I went to a like an aquatic center. Now, we had the party at an aquatic center. I'm a terrible swimmer, let me just also add, but for some reason, Mum was like, oh, we'll do it at an aquatic center where Michael will feel very much out of place. And she went all on board with it, by the way. She made a cake in the shape of a swimming pool. Like, the center was like, it's insane. Like, the center was like blue jelly. The outside was these chocolate sticks.
This was from the Woman's Weekly Cake Book.
So she made this cake, and she spent 2 weeks probably putting this all together, because you've got to put all the elements together. Anyway, she gives it to me. We get to the place, and she gives it to me. We're at the car. She gives it to me in the car park. She says, hey, Michael, you want to carry the cake in? I'm going to bestow this important responsibility upon you. She gives it to me, and now as I get to the entrance, all the kids are flocking in. They're like, oh, hey, Michael, happy birthday. We're so excited for the day. And I'm so excited, and I'm going around trying to give high fives and stuff, and I drop the cake.
Oh,
that Mum has spent 2 weeks on. And Mum...
I've seen mums and cakes. It's a labour of love.
So she just looked at me, and she didn't yell. This is important. She didn't yell. She just said, very matter-of-factly, she said, Michael, I could kill you. and what I like about it is that it's not I will kill you, it's I could kill you. So it's just a reminder of the power she had over me at the time.
With my pinky.
Anyway, so I'm quite happy because all the kids saw that and there was a very awkward birthday party for the rest of it. And so I'd be quite happy for no one to be talking about that rest of the party.
Yeah,
for the
absolutely,
rest of the week.
Absolutely. Oh, that's hysterical. I'm imagining kids just slipping on blue jelly and just taking the side of this cake into the swimming pool, which is just
cake fight.
Michael, awesome to talk to you as always. We'll catch you May 26th at our Gimme Lols for Kids Night.
Can't wait.
107.7 2GO.
Tell you what, I've stumbled across something and I've just gone, what? What? All right, now some people are going to get excited about this, but me, I just go, oh, really? Do we need this in our lives? I'll tell you what it is. It's going gangbusters on eBay. It's a home rotisserie. It's basically a
explain.
It's a gadget, right?
I've got that in my barbecue.
Well, yeah, I think we've all got the rotisserie function on our barbecues, don't we?
For a pig on a spit.
Who uses that?
I've never done it. I have one friend who loves roasting a pig.
Really?
And that's
he doesn't do it on the barbecue though, does he?
Yeah, he sets it up. But he's the only guy I know that's ever done it.
I've never known anyone.
And his favourite meal is pork knuckle.
Yeah. Look, so he's the only exception to the rule because nobody else is doing it. But, I mean, this is basically so that you can cook a kebab at home. And it's a size.
Give me a look at this thing.
It's only slightly bigger than a kettle. And
it's kind of a blender.
It looks like a blender, but it's a chamber. And it can fit one whole large chicken in it or a big chunk of meat. And you put it on and it just spins around and cooks. So and I've just gone, really,
it's like,
what?
It's your 2 in the morning kebab maker. Right?
Yeah, but, okay, good point, Rob, good point. But, you know, we're happy to stagger into a shop and get some person behind the counter to put the garlic sauce on.
Imagine the technique required to do that yourself at
2 in the morning. After a few brewskis.
Nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
No. And can you imagine trying to put that together yourself at 2 in the morning?
Yes. No. I mean, what if you get home and you accidentally pull the blender out by mistake?
Yeah, see?
You just got blended meat smoothie.
Yeah.
That sends you right off the edge.
Mate, this makes me think of all the ridiculous unwanted gadgets at my place.
Well, go on, name a couple.
Okay, I've got a couple. I've got a fondue set that I never use, and it's some sort of chocolate fountain thing that I never, ever use.
You don't have a chocolate fountain.
I've done this weird chocolate fountain once, and it made so much mess.
Those things are gross.
Oh, they're gross. And the chocolate goes everywhere. You lose half of it in the bowl.
At the hotels and stuff, where those fancy buffets where they've got the chocolate fountains coming off about 17 cups, and there's a kid at the bottom. With one churros sticking it in the bottom, just go, and the chocolate's over spilling. It's just a mess.
And then there's some weird Poffager pancake maker thing that I've used once to make little tiny pancakes. And you're standing there for about 14 hours trying to make six pancakes.
Oh, what I thought would be good but never used was the popcorn maker.
Oh, yeah.
Who's give me a pot. Give me proper corn that you buy the popping corn stuff in a bag.
Yeah.
Costs you $1.80.
Yeah.
Right? And then you just pour it into a bit of oil and bang, shake that thing up. You can pour honey or maple syrup on it, a little bit of salt, a little bit of sugar if you need to.
Yeah, nice.
And my kids go bananas for it.
But the popcorn maker
has never got a run.
It's never got a run. These gadgets are everywhere.
I'm scared to throw it out.
Yeah, as soon as you throw it out, you know someone will go, can we get that
Where's
thing
the popcorn
out and do
maker?
That thing? You know what? Go for it. If you want one of these home kebab maker jobs.
Home kebabs. You can have a kebab every day. But you know what? If you're eating kebabs every day, you've got a pretty serious drinking problem.
107.7 2GO.
Well, we spoke to him earlier this week. It's official. We have a day for the election. We've got a day now. And we did ask him. We said to him, what's the date for the election? He didn't tell us. He could have given us the scoop.
He could have. But you know what he did say? He did give us a scoop. But it wasn't on your birthday and it wasn't on his birthday.
Yeah, so he's... He's the
May
13th.
16.
And I'm 16,
He's you. Yeah.
So what date have we got for the election?
Well, we're looking at May 18th
right.
is when we reckon it's going to be. So,
okay. You
know, he's maybe no good on the tools, but he's hoping he's okay at elections.
Yeah. Well, it's going to mean that for the next 2 weeks, we're going to get hammered with ads and political speak and policies.
You know what gets me about the election ads?
What's that?
Is that they bitch and moan at each other. Why can't you tell me what good is going to come rather than what bad is going to come if I don't vote for you?
There's a lot of sledging, isn't there?
Yeah, both sides of the fence too.
I know.
Slinging mud.
We've only got a few weeks to wait, which is good. It could have gone a lot longer. So get ready to vote. Make sure you're registered.
107.7 2GO.
You've got kids, so I reckon, Rob, you're going to relate to this one. This story just made me laugh and laugh and laugh.
Go on.
It's out of the States. A journalist called Evan Osnos has a three-year-old son, and he does what a lot of parents do, which is give the kid the iPad to play with just while he gets some work done.
Yeah, right.
We all do it. We've all done it.
Yeah. You're chopping onions. Here, just flick that on.
Yeah, flick that on. Have a little look at Peppa Pig or whatever. Anyway, he gave his son the iPad, and then a little while later, his three-year-old handed the iPad back to him.
Yeah.
And it had been locked because he's done the, you know, you can't get into the password.
Right.
And you know when it locks you out?
I'm amazed the kid handed it back. I've got to actually tear mine out of Greta's hands.
Yes, I know. But you know what happened? He handed it back and he had locked it for 25 and a half million minutes. Which equates to 47 years.
Oh, no.
So his son will be 50 by the time that iPad gets
that
unlocked.
That is a cracker. Well done. I mean, I've got, you know, kids and they do the similar things, but never to that extent.
No.
I mean, Greta will take Griff's little, you know, mini iPad thing.
Yep.
She'll take it away, hide, and she's done it once before. You come back and it was locked for, you know, 15 hours.
Oh, see, that's long enough, isn't it?
Well, it was like you'd torn Griff's heart out.
Yeah.
What am I going to do?
15 hours.
Yeah. I mean, he might have been in the middle of something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't have a personal addiction as such.
No.
But,
no.
So he was a bit upset. And Greta, you know, God bless her.
Yeah.
She didn't know she was getting it wrong.
I don't know what you're doing.
Probably thought the little number pad was a game.
Exactly.
Beep, got it wrong. Oh, I'll try again. So, beep, got it wrong.
If anyone has had this happen, you can reboot. There's some sort of restore thing. I mean, the internet was, you know, helpful in letting
throw it at a brick wall.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. But no, you can restore, but you just wipe all of your data on your iPad. So,
yeah. So 47
years. No, so either that or maybe reboot your toddler.
Yeah.
107.7 2GO.
In America, I know we've been talking about America a bit this morning, and we're still yet to talk to Mr. Donald Trump, who usually calls us on a Thursday. But over in America, and I love these cop stories where things go wrong.
Yeah.
Some people called the police in Portland, in Oregon, because they thought there was a home invasion happening. And honestly, that is just a nightmare scenario, isn't it, right?
If you're in the States and you've got a home invasion, someone's getting shot, aren't they?
Well, that's what you would assume, right?
Yeah.
Just a nightmare situation. And so these people heard this noise.
Put their guns down, folks.
Yeah, I reckon. So they heard this noise in the bathroom and they're thinking, oh, my God, there's someone in there. So they've called the cops.
Yeah.
Cops have come, drawn their guns.
Yeah.
You know, they've kicked down the door in the bathroom. And it turns out that it's one of those Roomba vacuum cleaners that's just buttoning around the bathroom.
The little...
Pa-chonk, 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 pa-chonk.
No, the robot.
The robot vacuum cleaner.
Oh,
so they're all having a bit of a laugh.
I've locked the dog in the bathroom accidentally. He goes, he sniffs his way because he likes to drink out of the toilet bowl. So it's ridiculous. I know. And you go, what's that noise? You go in and the dog's got his head
and
in the bowl.
And then the next minute you see the dog licking the kid's faces.
Oh, no. That's
which
why
is
I
gross,
will not have dogs
man.
Lick me on
no,
the face.
That's
never.
Gross.
Yeah.
So you've locked the dog in the bathroom?
Yeah, we locked the dog in. So what he does is he goes in and then he'll get in the bathroom. And because he's got to maneuver around to get his head into the toilet bowl, he shuts the door on himself. So he actually locks himself in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just hear it for about half an hour. You hear this.
Have you heard the horror stories about those Roomba vacuum cleaners? There was a story once. I don't know whether you've heard this. This just makes my mind boggle. There was a story once of a couple that left it going because you can leave it just going and it just does the vacuuming for you while you're out of the house, right?
Yeah.
And it just rolls. I want one of these. I think this is a genius idea.
It's a swizz, as my father-in-law would say.
I like the idea of coming home and the robot's done all the vacuuming. Anyway, these people left their Roomba going, rolling around the house, and they had a couple of dogs as well. So the dogs are inside and the Roomba's inside. The dogs got diarrhea and had... And just, you know, did their business all over the house. And then
the
robot has just spread it.
Just painted the floor.
Just painted the floor.
That's a rendering job you don't want.
Exactly.
107.7 2GO.
Some exciting space news for you, Robin. I know you love space news as much as I do.
I'm a space kind of guy.
Yeah, you're a space cadet.
No, thanks
very much. No, this is exciting. Scientists around the world are collaborating to try and take the very first photograph of a black hole. So everything that we've seen until now has been an artist's impression.
Yeah, just sit on a photocopier.
I don't think they're talking about that black hole.
Right, sorry.
Anyway, yeah. I'm excited about this.
I'm excited, but a black hole is surely just a picture of nothing.
All right, maybe it is. Yeah, okay.
A picture of nothing. I'm going to go find a black piece of cardboard, photograph it and send it in.
107.7 2GO.
Hey, it's Thursday, which means President Donald Trump, good morning.
Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to me, Mandy and Rob. Happy daylight savings. Hey, Rob, how is it that you get an extra hour of sleep and yet you still look pretty rough? I mean, you may need to borrow some of Mandy's moisturizer, believe me.
Yeah, I'll look into it, sir. Wow, skincare tips from the orange-faced president.
Hey, watch it, Robbie.
Okay, that's enough of you two. Now, President Trump, how's your day going so far?
You know, frankly, not bad, except for flipping on fake news CNN by mistake. You know, I accidentally hit the TV remote while I was tweeting on the toilet this morning. But I will tell you, of all the networks on the air, CNN is such a joke. No, really, they should change the name to something with a better reputation. You know, like the R. Kelly channel or something.
Sir, your Congress wants the U.S. Internal Revenue Service to hand over 6 years of your tax returns so that they can investigate you. Now, why won't you hand them over?
Guys, look, the Democrats are never going to see my tax returns, okay? And here's why. I've hidden them. They're hidden. In a great place, too. I keep them in the same file cabinet where I keep Barack Obama's real birth certificate and my mint condition Playboy magazines from the 60s and 70s. So good luck with that.
How's everything at your southern border, Mr. Trump? We heard there's a surge of people trying to cross right now, and that just the other day you said our country is full. Is that true?
Yes, we're completely full, totally full. Go back home, turn around. We're at critical mass, guys. Critical mass, just like Clive Palmer's gut. No, there's no more room. Just like in that tiny Mini Cooper that Jose and his 27 relatives crammed into trying to sneak across. Turn it right back around. Beep, beep, Mexican clown car. No room for you here. Look, in all seriousness, guys, our country is bigly full at the moment. Look, we almost have as many people named Gonzalez in this country as we have Kardashians. Yeah, and there's no room for either of them. No more, believe me.
Look, people are concerned about all the people leaving the Department of Homeland Security, starting with Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen, who you fired this week. What happened?
Well, frankly, you know, she wasn't working hard enough, okay, Mandy? You don't know about that because you work very hard. She played way too much Candy Crush on office time, and she was miserable to be around. Have you seen her? I mean, her resting bitch face rivals Pauline Hanson's, believe me.
President
it's amazing.
Trump, now we heard your Secret Service chief is leaving too. Now, did you really call him, the guy in charge of protecting you and your family, Dumbo behind his back because he has big ears?
Now, look, that's totally ridiculous. I never called him that, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for former Secret Service Director Tony Abbott's ears. Okay, look. He did a tremendous job. Tremendous job. And he's a really tough guy to replace because wherever he went, we were able to use those ears as a Wi-Fi hotspot. Never dropped one call. Not one call around him. That I can tell you.
We got to fly. Thank you so much for calling once again, President Trump.
Stay huge, Dugio. Oh, and tell ScoMo I said hello. He's doing a tremendous job at prime ministering. Way better than that UK chick, Theresa May. I mean, she's a four at best, believe me.
107.7 TGO.
And around this time yesterday, Rob, I was telling you about Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
I know, right? So she's come out and said, I've been single for 10 years. Somebody needs to grow a pair, step up and ask me out.
Yeah.
And you started dribbling because she's...
Stop it. Because yeah, she's exaggeration.
Your... Because she's... You got a massive crush on Charlize?
Exactly. Massive something else. But we've... Yes, Charlize has been my pass out for a long time, right? And, you know, the pass out, for anyone that doesn't know what a pass out is, it's the person that your partner says, you know what?
If you met them.
If that person came along, yeah, sure, yeah.
And it's just a fantasy because we all know it's never going to happen.
Until Charlize.
Comes out and says, somebody needs to step up and grow a pair. And you've gone, maybe I'm in for a chance.
Could be on.
Here.
So, look, I mean, you dared me to go home and actually get permission. So, I've gone back. Now, yesterday was a funny old day because my father-in-law, sister-in-law, and my nephew all turned up on the doorstep that evening. So, I thought,
wow.
How do you ask that question?
In front of your father-in-law.
You know. And so, we had dinner. Thought, yeah. Oh, gee, I'm going to have to go in with my tail between my legs and say, nah, not happening. But I plucked up the courage as Charlize. Charlize Theron asked me to.
Yep.
And I said, so who's your favourite movie star? And my father-in-law, out of the blue. He's looking at me going, huh, what? You know, doesn't know movie stars at all. You know, right? And Gwen Scott, yeah, Dad, we're like, who do you like? His favourite movie, Pulp Fiction.
Okay, so, right, you know, yep.
Samuel L. Jackson came out. But then I was going, no, you're missing the point. What about females? No, fluffy movie stars, don't need them. So then I've gone, oh, how am I going to get around this? I've gone straight to Gwen. I said, you'll never guess what Mandy brought up yesterday. So I've thrown you in it.
Yep.
Charlize Theron has been single for ages, and this is what the father-in-law liked. She's daring a bloke to pluck up balls enough to ask her out. So he's gone, oh, funny. I said, what do you reckon, hey? That'd be, and she's, Gwen's looked at me and she knows straight away.
Because she knows you love Charlize, doesn't she?
She goes, ha, you and Charlize, knock yourself out, pal.
love Gwenny. She's amazing. It.
Then she pulls back a bit. She goes, no, stuff you, I might have a crack. Well, hold on a second. She's just going it for Charlize. I thought, hang on, no, you've got a different lusty man, right? Because hers, she told
who's
me,
her pass out?
Get this. It's a little bit sad now because things have changed. Russell Crowe.
Oh, no.
Yeah. When he was a gladiator. Right? But you turn it around now. What if she bumped into him with a Souths game? Hi, Russell.
Hi, Russell. Change my mind. You're not my pass out anymore.
107.7 2GO.
And this is to do with the legal system and jury duty. It's, you know, they say it's your civic duty to sit down and become a juror and, you know.
Well, if nobody
did
it. Help
the legal system on, right?
That's right, because if nobody did it, well, we'd be stuffed.
We'd be absolutely stuffed. So I've got this letter. It says juror at the top and it feels, it puts a bit of chilling down your back and you go, oh, what?
Yeah.
What am I in for?
Yeah.
You know? And then it says you've been included on the jury roll. This is, you know, what they're saying to me now in the district. It runs for 1 year. So you've got to be available, right? I don't know if I'm going. I don't know if I'm not going. But
so
you need to be available for a year.
So just hang on a sec. So you're not, you haven't been called up for jury duty. You're just on the roll.
They've said, hey, pal, you're in our sights.
Yep.
We're going to throw a dart at the board. If we hit you, you're in.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how they choose you either.
I don't either.
Because you need a cross-section of people, don't you?
You do. And I don't know whether they do that deliberately or whether there's just a lotto or what.
You know, I'd be in the really fit, sporty, good-looking sort of that bit.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You'd be in the like the bull ant section.
Oh, thanks, mate. But you know what? It's interesting because I don't know anybody who's been on jury duty. I have no friends or family that have been called up for this.
No. Apparently they pay you. So you can, you
do
know,
they?
While you do it, you get an income from it.
Because do they pay you
what? Imagine being in court for 6 months on a big, big, big case.
But hang on, can I ask something? So what happens at work? Like, do you have to take leave or?
Civic duty. Civic duty, boss.
Does your boss continue to pay you?
See, that's something I don't know. I've never
done
it.
I've got no idea about this.
I mean, I'd love to know if someone has done jury duty, you know.
Well, yeah.
How did it work? Did your family survive through it? Did it, you know, was it short? Was it?
Did it impact your life or was it just something that you enjoyed doing? 13, 27, 10. Actually, I'm really curious about this
because
like I said.
Jury duty is something we all may come across.
In our lifetime, exactly. And I don't know anyone who has been called up for this.
Yeah.
So I really have no experience with this. So you may or may not be called up. You've got a year and then what, you drop off the roll after the year. So then you know
well,
you're
yeah, then
called.
They, I guess they put the scoop back into the pool and try and get a few new goldfish.
Yeah, right. 13, 27, 10. Give us a call this morning. Love to hear from you. If you have been on jury duty, maybe you know a little bit more about it than we do. Give us a call.
107.7 2GO.
Now, you got the letter saying that you are on the roll. You haven't been called up.
No, they haven't said, come and, you know, watch this.
No.
It's like a show too. You're there for, I guess you're in the seat for as long as the case takes and you're sitting there with someone's liberation and possibly a victim's grief in your hands.
I know, right? What a huge responsibility.
It is.
It's massive.
You know, I don't think it dawns on you until you get there because I'm a bit freaked out about it and I'm not sure what to expect.
Well, you don't know whether you're going to get called up. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, you're just on the roll. But let's go to the phones and see what people have experienced. Bree from Killarney Vale, morning.
Hi, how are you?
Really good. So when were you on jury duty?
Last year, I was actually summoned to go on my birthday.
Oh, wow, Bree. Oh, that's annoying.
Bree, did you turn it into a party?
No, I didn't.
I don't think they would have appreciated that. So you actually had to sit in a courtroom, Bree?
Yes.
And can you say how long the case went for?
It went for just under a week.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, go.
And was it? Did you get paid? Like, what was the story there?
Yeah, you get paid. It's a certain amount per day.
Yep.
And your boss, like, I know you were saying, Rob was saying he was worried about leave and that. If your boss doesn't actually let you get time off, they can actually be fined. I think it's,
you might be a juror for them.
Yeah, I think it's like 5,000, or it could be a bit more. I can't actually remember.
Sure,
yeah,
wow.
The okay. figure, but yeah.
Yeah, right. So your boss is legally obliged to allow you to go and be a juror, and I suppose the payment yeah. is in
and you
lieu
were there
of
for
your
a
pay.
Week, but you started on your birthday. Did you go out and have a good one on the first night? Come in with a little bit worse for wear the next day.
No, I didn't, because it was a decent case. So you sort of had to have your wit
about you.
About wow. you.
Yes.
And then you can't talk to anyone, can you, about that case, Bree? You're not allowed.
No, not at all.
Wow.
Not at all.
This is fascinating stuff. Hey, did you find the process an interesting one?
It was. It was really interesting, like, because you're in a room of like 80 to 100 people.
Wow.
You watch a video and that. You're taken in the courtroom and you're all given a number. So once you go in the courtroom, they call out certain numbers, like, and then it's up to the Crown and that as to whether, if you're called up, that yes, they like the look of you, no, they don't like the look of you, and so if they like the look of you, well then you're on the jury.
It's like picking kids in a sports team, isn't it?
It is a bit.
Yeah, it is.
I love you.
It
is. I love you.
You can go.
Yeah.
Hey, Bree, thank you so much for sharing your experience. It's been really fascinating to chat to you this morning. We're going to send you along to the Harlem Globetrotters at Kudos Bank Arena. They're on Saturday, and you can get your tickets, nbl.com.au/globetrotters, happening at the Kudos Bank Arena. Let's go to Paul now. Morning, Paul.
Morning. How are you, Mandy?
Yeah,
hi,
fabulous,
Paul.
Mate.
G'day, Rob. How are you?
Mate, fabulous. Now, help us out here, brother.
Yeah, I've actually been called up 4 times in my life to go to court.
Wow.
Yes. Most people say it only happens once or twice, but yeah, as I said, I've been up 4.
You ever been struck by lightning?
No.
No? Okay.
Have you actually served on a jury 4 times?
No. Most processes, you're usually just sitting in the room waiting. Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite boring and long time. So you take a book or something like that. But they also, on your paperwork that they send you, there's a number you can ring, and that'll tell you when more than likely you're going to be called.
Yeah, right.
So, and then, yeah, so it could take up, as Rob said, it could take up to a year. But the first, like I found, mostly it's usually within a couple of months that you usually get called in.
Yeah, right.
So you were sitting in a room there and they were selecting, and you didn't get selected.
You didn't get selected 4 times, Paul.
No, I got selected once, but then once we actually got into court, the previous case ran over, so they dismissed the jury, and that was the end of the thing.
Wow.
You'd almost be feeling like the guy that just can't get a date.
That's the one. Never get to the finish line.
Oh, Paul, what? We're going to send you along to see Diesel
There's
play.
The finish line, Paul.
There's the finish line at the Entrance Leagues Club on Friday night. Enjoy that, won't you?
No worries. Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks for calling.
No worries. See ya. 107.7 2GO. And it's official. We have an election date, May 18. Is it official? Has anyone official? Are we all just guessing?
No,
or what's happening?
I think what he's doing, he's going to see the big cheese, the Governor General,
the Governor
right
General.
Now to say, hey,
righto, yes.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to have an election. I'd like to depose the government and start a new one on, we reckon, May 18. That's the big.
I'm just happy because it's a couple of days after my birthday, so it's not going to ruin any birthday celebrations, because the last thing I want to do is stand in a queue and have people shoving, election material in my face.
Oh, and it can get frustrating.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
Stick in your face stuff. I tell you what, now that we've had the Prime Minister
on the show,
wasn't that great? I think we should invite the opposition leader to come in and have a chat too.
Bill Shorten.
Yeah, Mr. Shorten, please, if you're around.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you will be, because this is an important seat.
It is
very
indeed.
Very important seat.
Well, pop on in, Bill. We'd love to have you.
107.7 2GO.
Time to speak to this guy.
Slater, he dummies. Wow. Beautiful basketball pass.
You want the best NRL tips in 2019? You've got them right now on 2GO. These are Sturlo selections.
Good morning, Sturlo. Lovely to have you as always.
Good morning, Mandy. Morning, Rob. How are you going?
Very
fabulous,
well, thank you,
matey.
Sir.
Fabulous.
Mate, so what's happening this week in the rugby league regarding Greg Inglis? I'd like to know what he's up to.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? One of the champions of our game. But when you think now, it's been a little while since he's sort of played any consistent footy because the injuries are starting to hit. And kind of when you get into your 30s, that old, they just start to sort of, you know, be more than niggles and they hang around.
Oh, how I'd love to be in my 30s.
Same.
Well, exactly. I don't think we have an imminent retirement coming up. He's got a shoulder problem at the moment, but I think the writing's on the wall, and he's been such a fantastic player, and it would be sad to see him go out any other way than on top.
Yeah.
We could call him Farnsy, comeback legend.
Yeah, look, like Farnsy, well, he might be the inspiration for Greg. We might see Greg still playing in our game in his 50s.
Yes. You
never know. never know.
Yeah, look, if I'm a South Sydney fan, I've just got everything crossed that he can get back on the paddock and
at least
and
for
have
one
a really
more run. Maybe, you know, at least for a couple more runs. You know what I mean?
Tour. Oh, look, he'll get back at some stage. But as I say, it's just that, you know, when you get a little bit of age up in our game and the injuries hit, they're hard to shake off and they just kind of hang around. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I still think he's got a little bit of good footy left in him.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about the Raiders. Of course, they're taking on your Eels on Sunday. But one of the Raiders, the English guy, John Bateman, there's a whole bunch of people now signing an online petition to change Bateman's Bay into John Bateman's Bay.
Please.
And I want to know what you make of this. The Raiders are behind it.
Yeah, what I make of that is that they haven't got much in their lives at the moment, have they? They haven't got anything more to do than that. It's a lovely play on words, but the bloke's been here 5 minutes. So we're not going to take a lovely little spot like Bateman's Bay and change it so that an Englishman can come in and lay claim.
Well, now, I think that maybe we need to rename a part of the Central Coast after you, Stirl, and I've got a couple of suggestions to run past you, if that's all right.
I'm all ears.
All right, here we go.
You know what? Well, I'm fully supportive without hearing it.
Okay, yeah, good. I knew you'd be behind it. What do you reckon on this? Instead of Cheero Point, we could have Stirlo Point.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
well, this one might be a bit better. Instead of Pete's Ridge, we could have Peter's Ridge.
Oh, now we're yes. Warming up.
All right,
we?
I think this is the one you're going to like the most. This is my last one. Are you ready? Instead of St. Hubert's Island, we've got St. Stirlo's Island. Because you get to be a saint as well then.
I love them all, although I'm open to the fact that we just call it, instead of the Central Coast, we just call it Stirlo's Coast.
Oh, look out! That's the jackpot.
So humble, Stirlo. Humble.
Well, let's not sneak up on it.
No.
Let's just go the whole hog.
Yep.
But look, if you can get plenty of people to sign the petition, my name will be on there as well.
Oh,
okay?
Fantastic, Stirlo. Don't even tempt me. Now, listen, we better quickly get to a couple of the games that you want to see this weekend. Who are we looking for this weekend?
Yeah. A couple of standouts going tonight. Brisbane up against the Tigers. Look, the Tigers, they must still be smarting that somehow Penrith got them last week. Broncos under a bit of pressure at the moment. They started well, but they're now 1-3. Need to turn that around. I think they will tonight. I think they'll win the opening game. Mm. Other side under pressure, the Cowboys, looking at 3 straight losses at home and 4 in a row. They take on the Melbourne Storm. I think real problems for the Cowboys. Melbourne to remain the only unbeaten side in the competition when they win in Townsville this weekend. And the Roosters, been really impressive. Up against the gritty Sharks, but the Sharks have got some injury concerns. I think the tricolours continue on their merry way. So
yes, go you,
Chookies. The big guns to win this weekend.
Yep.
What about last week? We had 3 golden pointers and a kick from the sideline to make it 4 golden pointers. I reckon we'll have some tight ones again this weekend.
Fantastic, Stirlo. Thanks so much for joining us again. Always great to chat to you. Thanks to Brian Hilton, the home of used cars. Every Brian Hilton certified used car offers you extra peace of mind.
107.7 2GO.
Now, the holidays are coming up. Mm. You've got people going away camping. A lot of people just like going bushwalking. I know I do.
I do. I love it.
Love it with the kids. We get out there, take the dog, not in a national park, of course.
No, because your property in Sydney backs onto like a whole heap of bushland.
There's a whole heap of bushland. So you're allowed to walk your dog out there. Yep. And it's just, you know, it's a fabulous place to explore. But there are other things that live in the bush that can cause you problems, like snakes.
Mm-hmm.
So with the kids, I've got this great game that we play. That will hopefully one day save, or it has actually already saved a life, I'm sure.
But this is a great one to take with you if you're going camping these Easter holidays.
Cam, you're walking through the bush, say, righto, kids, when you hear the word snake, that's snake,
yep,
but loud and loud. Alarming.
That's in the Rob Palmer voice.
Everyone freezes. So it's like, and no one moves a muscle.
That's a great game.
And then all of a sudden, and I scan everyone and go, no one moving? And they go, freezing. And then they slowly walk backwards, three steps backwards, as you would walk away from a snake. And it works. I did it with Greta the other day. We were walking down the bush. I went, right, we're going to play the game. And I'd never played it with her before because she's four.
Yep.
Anyway, so she was old enough to realise what was going on. We played. I did it about 10 times. She goes, Dad, can we please stop playing the snake game? Right? She was getting frustrated. So I've just gone, yeah, righto. I said, but, and you've got to do this. If you are playing, you've got to tell them you're playing because otherwise you're crying wolf.
Yeah. You've got to make sure there's a distinction between the game. That's right.
So you say, okay, when you are playing, tell them. And I said to Greta, we're not playing anymore. So if you hear me yell snake, there is actually one there.
So you need to freeze.
Yeah, so she was onto it. And this actually worked for me and Griff. When he was younger, we'd played the game and then we were walking down the path and, well, actually, I didn't actually yell snake. He saw a snake. So I assume I've walked right over the top of a snake, kept going. He's seen it walking behind me and he stopped. I looked 15 metres down the path, turned around. There's Griff standing still, just slowly
Did
walking
Did he say
backwards.
Snake?
He didn't say snake. He just saw it in front of him.
And
but
stopped.
I'd already passed it, right?
Yep.
So he just stopped and was dead quiet. And he started walking back. As I turned around, I said, mate. And he goes, shh, shh.
Put his
finger up to his mouth. I said, what's the matter? Snake. And he was stepping backwards. I said, wow, what colour? And he's gone, it was brown. He was only four, so he didn't really know.
Yep.
It was brown. How long was it? Oh, about this long, like the biggest fish you've ever caught. I thought, that has maybe just saved him from a brown snake bite.
So it's a good game to play, but make sure you tell your kids when you're playing it.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And it's basically about practising freezing when you see a snake.
That's right.
Great
tip. Don't alarm them. They may bite you.
Yeah.
107.7 2GO.
Now, what about homework? Okay, it's one of those things that every family is confronted with, or we used to be, but all of a sudden, what's happened at Branwen School, our 11-year-old is in year six, they abolished homework.
When you said this to me, I was a little bit gobsmacked because I didn't realise that that could happen at schools. I just thought homework was just part of it.
Well, someone's had a meeting with someone. They said, right, we're banning homework. Occasionally they'll get an assignment to do.
Yep.
That's a random
but
thing, right?
As far as a nightly thing, they don't have to do anything nightly.
That's right.
Wow.
So initially I was gobsmacked. I thought, no way, because homework seemed to be, as a parent, to be the way I could keep track of what, you know, how she was going at school.
Yeah.
I used to sit down and do a bit of maths homework myself just to brush up on some things.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, a lot of us did.
Yeah, and you realise, well, but then as the homework was taken away, I realised that the kids felt better. There was less pressure in the house. And everyone knows that feeling of, you haven't done your homework, get out. You need a homework for this, homework for that. Don't kick a footy. You haven't finished your homework.
I know, right? And then, of course, there's the pressure when there's some sort of assignment due that you've left late
yes.
and then you're suddenly up till 9 or 10 o'clock gluing paddle pop sticks together trying to make some sort of volcano that erupts for show and
you
tell
know,
or
and
whatever.
It just added a lot of pressure. So I actually have moved from the camp of I love homework and it needs to be there into, you know what, let kids be kids until the end of year six maybe and let them
Interesting.
You know, Branwen engages in a lot of different co-curricular activities now that she would never have been able to do had she been stuck having to do homework every night.
Interesting, hey, because I come from the camp of, like, I quite like homework for my kids. Mind you, both of mine who've left school now, one loved homework and one hated it. So I had both things going on, right? And I think some kids actually really love to learn. And so to give them homework is not a chore for them. You know, there's a bunch of kids that enjoy it.
Maybe you just give them Meccano set.
Well,
you know,
maybe.
Learn this because, you know, or you could have optional homework. I'm not sure. I don't know if anyone's doing that,
either.
Surely.
Do you know who I'd love to talk to this morning? And if this is you, 13, 27, 10, the teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Because I reckon it would make a massive difference to the teachers' lives if they don't have homework to worry about.
You know, and if the ideas come from the teachers, is it...
Why?
Was it a bit of a, we're doing too much work.
Maybe.
Maybe they've got to mark it and they've got to, you know.
You know what? Get involved in this conversation. We'd really love to hear from parents and teachers this morning, 13, 27, 10.
Does homework create pressure at home?
Yeah.
And would you be for not having any homework?
Have you?
Yeah, up to year six, let's say.
Yeah. Are you behind this? Should there be a homework ban is what we're asking this morning. So you can get involved on 13, 27, 10. We might send you along to Mossy. We've got a couple of double passes to go and see Ian Moss at Laycock Street Theatre, his solo acoustic tour at the Laycock Street Theatre, thanks to Indian Motorcycles, Friday, 26th of April. ianmoss.com.au for tickets.
107.7 TGO.
Hey, and we're talking homework, and I can just hear kids all over the coast going,
get rid of it. Just wondering whether or not you think that it should be banned?
Yeah, this is the question we're asking because yeah. At Brenwyn's school...
Branny's school, they basically banned homework and all of a sudden... Branny is undertaking a whole heap of stuff that she, I don't think, would have time for if homework was a real issue.
And it does start to get up there in year six too yeah. because they're trying to get them ready for high
school.
But
she is starting to flake out a bit when an assignment comes in because that's not homework, that's an assignment. And then I'm not sure if she's forgotten how to work outside of the school environment.
Well, that's an interesting one. We're going to the phones this morning to find out what you think about this. Joe from Wadalba, what do you think about
this? Hi, Joe.
Oh, hi. Yeah,
it's been a big debate. When my children were at primary school in our household for a long time, I think I don't agree with homework, but I think up to primary school, yes, they probably need a little bit.
Yep.
With the odd assignment, not because it's end up us doing it, the parents.
Exactly. Oh, no. How many times have we sat there
how
and done that?
How many volcanoes
so,
have you made?
So, just curious, Joe, though, what about high school? What do you think about high school?
I think the odd assignment's okay at my son's school. If they don't finish their in-class work, that is homework, so they make sure they get it done.
But, high school, don't you think that they need to have some sort of life training in working outside of the work environment to, you know, get things done?
Yeah, they do get the odd assignment that they do get at home.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. That's good. But then homework on top of it.
No. Yeah, I mean, when you've got kids spending 4 hours a night on homework, you just know something's wrong. Hey, look, thanks for the call, Joe. Lovely to get your opinion. We're going to send you to the movie. Stay there.
Thanks, Joe.
Chicks at the Flicks at Event Cinemas Tuggerah is where we're going to send you.
Now to Leanne at Mannering Park. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah, really well, thanks.
Thank you. Help us out.
Well, I'm a parent. I have two children, one in primary, one in high school. My daughter's... primary school, they banned homework a couple of years ago. They only have home reading as their homework.
Yep.
Homework.
Yep.
Which is good for them.
It is.
And my son, he's in high school, year 8, and he gets an assignment which he hasn't completed, which is due in tomorrow, the last day of school.
Oh,
And it can be a bit monotonous. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying yes?
But, I mean, it is good for them.
Yep.
But don't you need to let them fall on their sword occasionally when the homework is due and it's not been done? Say, mate, you're going regardless.
It. I'm not doing it because he wants me to help, like, to do it, and I'm not doing
does.
It.
No,
it's
no.
His responsibility.
Yeah, good on you, Leanne.
Stand strong.
He will get no marks for that, so I've left it to him, and I'm on his case. Do it, do it, do it. He won't do it. So I've left it at that.
You've left it at that. Well, tell him Mandy and Rob reckon he should do it as well. Hey, and we're going to send you along to Ian Moss at Laycock Street Theatre, Leanne.
Beautiful.
Oh, excellent, guys. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You will love that.
Let's finish off with Pam from Killarney Vale. Hi, Pam.
G'day, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Should we ban homework?
No. I think it's a good thing. I've had my kids myself through primary and high school, and I've worked in primary and high schools as an assistant, and I think as long as it's minimal when they're at primary school so they can have fun with your kids, and but they've got to learn that thing of just sitting down and concentrating. And I've seen so many kids struggle in high school that haven't done time work, you know, when they were younger.
So you reckon the primary school sets you up for high school. So when you're doing homework in primary school, you're kind of training kids to focus and to concentrate.
Yeah, but let them be kids.
That's right, and just to apply themselves, even if they learn it in, you know, it's only 10, 15 or something a night, depending on the age.
Yeah,
But not, certainly that it doesn't take over, you know...
their whole life.
And hobbies and stuff, but... I have seen a lot of kids when they get to like years 7 and 8 and 9 and that, and they get assignments start piling up, and they're not even used to sitting down to do schoolwork, you know. Like
half of them don't even know how to hold a pen properly.
I think it's got its place, but in
fantastic. Great to hear from you, Pam.
Not
we're going to send you to
thanks,
see
Pam.
Ian Moss at the Laycock Street Theatre. Well, look, there was a bit of everything in that, I
there
think.
There was, wasn't there? You know, and I think what I got from Pam as far as the teacher's point of view is that you just want to have a little bit enough to get the kids to say, you know what, this is something that I know how to do, but I'm not actually forced into every night.
Yeah.
And just keep it minimal.
Yeah.
Let them do their sport. Let them go out and be kids and grow naturally, and you find what you love through doing that co-curricular stuff as well.
Absolutely.
Can lead to big careers.
107.7 2GO.
But it's time for us to get out of here.
That is correct. And whatever you are doing today, I hope you enjoy it and have a good crack at it.
Oh, fantastic. If you've missed any part of the show, you can go back and catch up at 2GOFM.com.au. And we will see you for a big Friday show tomorrow.